Good afternoon. It is one bell of the afternoon watch, and this is your Captain Joe up in the captain's chair. And I have a special program today in a couple of regards. First of all is that my son Sean is sitting across from me, and we're going to have a little talk about a couple of things as part of the program. And so, Sean, I'd like you to come up on the mic and make sure that we have the mic live.
All right. Hi. Hi. It's good to be here. Thank you.
So it is indeed live, and there we go. So we know that it works. And what we also know is that the earphones don't work. And so
that's okay.
So there you have it.
All right.
So the first thing are greetings today. And my greetings today go out to all of Captain Joe's people who are having birthdays. And in particular, because I had a signal about this during the week from a listener who is both loyal, lovely, and true. And she reminded me that her husband, Ron, is having his birthday today. And so I send special greetings to him because he is a fellow wearer of the shield. He is a fellow captain, retired Coast Guard captain. And he has done something that I have not been able to accomplish, and that is that he has, in the next generation, Coast Guard people. That's not to say that all of my children are not doing honorable things, because that's not the case. It is just that none of them have elected to take the same oath that Ron and I did. So the happiest of birthdays to Ron. Many thanks to Laura for sending me that signal. And I take this opportunity also to reflect briefly, insofar as I can reflect on anything briefly, that about the subject of friends, and especially friends of family rank. Last year, Ron and Laura invited me to a family gathering that we had out at they had out at Point Robinson. And it was a great example of a family getting together, members of the family that had not been able to be together for some time. And we talked Coast Guard, we talked family, and we just enjoyed each other, and we enjoyed the sight. And I tell these stories because I know that there are people among Captain Joe's people who are in with families who have not gathered for a long time. And I urge you to do it, because it is not given to us to know the day nor the hour, and that therefore we should foregather and enjoy each other when it is given to us to be able to do it. This year, I will be having our 4th of July, and one of the things that happens at our 4th of July is that as many family people as can come will come here, and they'll camp on the property that is part of Captain's Quarters. And almost my entire Fairbanks family is coming here, and that's a lot of people. And so it's going to be a great event. In fact, from now until the autumn, there is one event after another. So, Shano, I'm going to jump into something that you and I had talked about. This is Earth Month. And before we get into some of the things that you have done with children that you taught, I would like you to give a short CV of yourself.
Oh, okay. Well, first a shout out to my wife who's listening from Spokane.
Yes, indeed.
And our granddaughter Isla, who's is just taking a nap. My CV, wow.
We don't take naps on this broadcast until after.
Resting her eyes. She's only two. But I've taught for 30 years in grades 4th through 9th, and including some university instructing as an adjunct in the education department at Gonzaga and Whitworth University. I'm right now in between jobs. The last job I had was working with AmeriCorps and Youth Build, working with high-risk youth trying to attain their GED and learn job skills and just guiding them to employment. And so that was a challenge, and I found that I was not wired as much for that position. So I am looking for something in the field of education or maybe something completely different.
So so this is Earth Month, and you were a science teacher.
I was.
And so I am always interested in your career. One of the things that you also did was the reason why I declare that this is Voice of Vashon 101.9 on the FM band and streaming live from Singapore. All the way to Stockholm is because you and Barb were living in teach and you were teaching in Singapore. And so I'd like to have a few groups about being an expat in Singapore and teaching in that environment.
What an incredible experience. So I did forget to mention that the last 5 years of my, from year 25 to 30 in my education and teaching, I was working at in Jamaica in Kingston for 3 years as an expat and a teacher in middle school science and technology and health. And then incredibly interesting experience there. And then working with a lot of other Americans and other internationals from England and Australia. And I just loved all of the international flavor, literally and figuratively with Jamaica. Then my contract was over and I added another year and went to a new adventure to Singapore, which 16 hours difference time zones. And so that was a challenge in a lot of ways, but and the cultural backgrounds of so many people I was working with all over the world, and great friendships developed, and the students were quite interesting from China, Korea, Japan, Australia, England, and I loved it. And we did celebrate, and we did. It wasn't quite as American as with the Earth Day or Earth Month, but we definitely, that was a huge focus with the International Baccalaureate curriculum, the IB. So we really hit that well through the year, integrated through everything, but definitely focused on in April.
So when you were teaching out in Spokane in particular, you were a science teacher. And I'm always interested in what science teachers teach today. And what are some of the things that you did with the children? Because you were a teacher at, what was the name of the school again?
It was a parochial school, so there was a little bit more. We worked with the state standards and the curriculums that we were given from the state and from our diocese. But we had a chance to localize it. And so especially with science, because there's just so much content in so many different fields, you can't know it all. It's about how we think through problem solving and engineering projects and things like that. So we had a little more freedom. So I was able to get my bus driver's license so I could really have freedom to take my students on out in the field with projects, whether it was when I taught the younger grades, we would on May 1st, we would go out and pick up litter and leave little May baskets with messages of encouragement to the neighbors. And then we would, of course, study alternative energies and renewable energies that were clean. And being Spokane and Eastern Washington, we had the dams and hydropower. So we would take a field trip to the dams and learn about that. And they would learn about safety around dams. And of course, that connected to social studies and how Eastern Washington developed in the 30s with the Grand Coulee Dam and kept on going from there with all local dams with cheap and renewable power. We also took trips to the National Forest Service. They have a tree nursery in Coeur d'Alene that does incredible work where they develop, produce and grow in a variety of different trees, pine trees usually, that would be used to replace diseased and fire damaged trees and renew that. And so the kids were able to learn all about that, which was really, really cool. We also, in Singapore with the older kids, we were designing energy efficient homes and buildings on computer aided design, CAD programs and software. And it was just really applying what we know is so important into our future and making it relevant to the students' experience.
So one of the things that I know, and Shauno would not say about himself, is that he is also an award-winning teacher. And so the warmth around my heart to be able to recognize that with him sitting right across from me, and he's here because there are some tasks in Captain's Quarters that he has agreed to take on. And I'm going to now go into a couple of my regular features, and I've got one down here at the bottom that I'm going to bring you in on toward the end, about which I've not briefed you. And this is, as always, a unrehearsed and unscripted program. So just hang on for that. In the meantime, the Binnacle List is a Binnacle List I'm recognizing today that several of Captain Joe's people are about ready to have some pretty serious surgical procedures. And the testing that goes to get ready for that, all of those things, you are, as always, in the palm of my hand and close to my heart as all of these things happen. And we always hope for, and it is my wish, my desire, and should it be in my ability to command that there is nothing but really good outcomes from all of these things. Next week, I will not be broadcasting. I am headed to New Orleans for a conference of the Council of American Master Mariners. And from there, I am headed out to the East Coast to be with some of Captain Joe's people there. And I've tried to manipulate everything so that I would be able to broadcast from maybe the Men's Head in the airport at Houston. No matter how I manipulate it, I'm in the air, probably over Montana. And so next week, there will be a repeat of one of my previous broadcasts. But I have to tell you that this is only the second time in all of the years that I've been doing this broadcast that I have not been able to broadcast live, unrehearsed, and unscripted from someplace in the world. And I will not make a habit of it because we all feel that part of the enjoyment of this program, where I always hope that my mission is being accomplished, of make all of us feel a little bit better about ourselves and about the world in which we live, is partially accomplished by the fact that I broadcast from some pretty interesting places. And I remember that I broadcast from underneath the Coast Guard cutter Polar Star when she was in the dry dock down in California, and had the captain, the senior enlisted person, and the junior enlisted person all together with me broadcasting from underneath this enormous ship. So I'm not going to make a habit of this, but there's no way that I can do it this next week. So tune in anyway. And then the following week, I will be back broadcasting from the Gene Bosch studio, and I will be giving a report on my adventures. Also next week, Captain O'Brien is not going to be broadcasting, and he is going to be at a reunion of his Vietnam Army buddies. I bring this up here because one of those reunions was held right here on the magical Isle of Vashon. And I gave a tour and then spoke with the group at the time. And I was made an honorary Army buddy. The group is meeting this year in Rhode Island, and they have decided that this is the last time that they will do it. And they are thinking that this is the last time because the membership is, in sailors' vernacular, is crossing the bar, and there are only a few of them left. That is also true of my own Vietnam crew. But the big difference here is that we still have our ship, and she is in Key West, Florida. You can go and visit her. You can go up into the captain's cabin and see the list of all of her commanding officers, and you'll find your Captain Joe's name there because I became her captain when we came back from Vietnam. So I wrote a letter to my Army buddies, and I gave it to Truman to read at this reunion. And I pointed out that the idea of a shipmate, he or she who puts mates and ship before themselves, is congruent with the idea of your Army buddy. And that they did me great honor by including me and making me an honorary Army buddy. And I recognize that here today because as we get farther and farther away from the Vietnam era, and more of those who served in that conflict are crossing their own bar, even though your own captain is still upright in the captain's chair, there will come a time. And we all need to be reflective of that and appreciative of those who served. There have been a number of aviation challenges in the last 2 or 3 months, and I have done some reflection on that, and these especially have been reported with the Boeing company, which of course is originally a Seattle company. Bill Boeing, the man who founded the company, his original barn is still retained as part of the Boeing Museum. Part of the museum that is here as part of the Boeing complex. My reflection on this is that I retain great confidence in Boeing. And I prefer Boeing aircraft to Airbus. There's something about when the wheels come up in a Boeing aircraft and that solid thunk happens right under you because I now fly in the front of the airplane, is quite different from the kind of rattly sound and chunka, chunka, chunka that happens with an Airbus aircraft. I've never flown in one of the enormous four-engine A380s. How about you, Sean? Have you?
No, but a friend of mine likes to do that a lot, and it cracks me up how nice it is compared to regular.
Yeah. So maybe I will think differently if I ever fly in an A380. But the this trip that I'm taking to New Orleans, known to Coast Guard people as NOLA, to NOLA and then to the East Coast and then back, there are 5 segments in that flight, in that trip, and 4 of them are in Boeing aircraft. And I am going to be fully confident that every single segment is going to be safely executed. I will be in the capable hands of United Airlines for the whole trip, and I am confident that all is going to be well, and I will be returned safely to the captain's chair in the Gene Bosch Memorial Studio at the appropriate time. There was a United flight just a few days ago that had to be turned around, and that was because somebody had put a threat on the mirror in one of the heads.
Oh, no.
I will be alert. I will be looking at the mirror. I normally don't do too much of that. I'm not very happy with my appearance these days, but that has to do with aging. It has nothing to do with any degradation. And I will be now looking for threats inscribed on mirrors and make the suitable reports. But a United aircraft got turned around as a result of that. So here's the thing that I'm going to ask you about, son. I have a website which got put on my computer without my asking for it, and it's called Do It Yourself. And the first Do It Yourself entry that I had was one in which it talked about the how to make up your bed.
Okay.
How to make up your bunk. And my remark to that was that what you need is a good drill instructor at boot camp or a senior classman at one of the service academies. And if your mom didn't teach you how to make up your bunk, then you would learn how there. Today, I got one from Do It Yourself. And the title of it is Why Making Your Bed Immediately Can Be Unhealthy. What do you think of that, Shauna? Your mom, who is Mary R., what did she teach you about bunk making? And did she ever tell you that it was unhealthy to let it sit there for the day?
She showed us how to make the bed from stripped to properly made, not properly compared to maybe a drill instructor's instructions or my wife's design. She likes to really tuck it tight. My mom let us just throw the covers onto the bed after we woke up, and just in case anyone walked by. It was always about the image, you know, walking by. And we don't want anyone to see that the bed's unmade, but it didn't have to be tucked in and tight. You didn't have to bounce a quarter off it or anything.
Okay, so there are nine in this particular article. There are nine reasons why you should not make your bunk up right away.
I am really curious.
Okay, so all right. So,
I'm sure your listeners were like, "What?"
Yes. So there are nine of them, and four or five of them have to do with. If you make it up right away, you are folding in moisture. Hmm. You are and it doesn't even talk about whether you wet the bed. It just talks about moisture from your body that is absorbed into the bedding. It talks about the fact that there may be mold, or there may be very small insects, mm-hmm. or there may be all kinds of things which are threatening to your health. None of this has any pertinacity to me, but the one that really got me was this one. And this one is the last one. It's number nine. And the title of number nine is Cultivating Mindfulness. Mm. And what that meant, and I'm not going to use one of the words that we're not allowed to say.
I know what you're thinking.
Yeah.
It's a W word.
Right. So I read this little piece over and over again to make sure that these people were actually saying what they were saying. And then to cultivate mindfulness about not making your bunk up right away is that you're supposed to stand back from it. And then you're to look at it, and you are to admire it, and you are to say essentially, thank you, bunk, for being such a warm, welcoming place. And it has almost a zen, mm-hmm. or a something like that, almost a religious significance that you're supposed to look at your bunk and thank it for being there, and thank it for being so warm and welcoming. And if you have a cat in it, it doesn't say anything about whether you have a cat in it. Well, I almost always have a cat in it, and many people have a dog. Does Aussie
sleeps on top of the comforter, but yeah, it's on the bed.
Okay, so I am coming to be a little bit skeptical of some of the articles that come from Do It Yourself, and this is one of cultivating mindfulness. I'm not going to spend a lot of time cultivating mindfulness on this. It is time to remind everybody that in June. We are going to foregather in Duluth, Minnesota. We're having a Coast Guard reunion in Duluth. For me, the 1st of June will be a travel day. And then the reunion itself is the 2nd and 3rd and 4th. And I'm taking an extra day, before the 5th, and I'm returning to the magical Isle of Vashon on the 6th of June. This originally began as a reunion of people who had sailed in the Coast Guard cutter Storrs, and it's organized by our friend John, spelled J-O-N. But as more and more people became involved and interested, it has been opened out to anybody who has served in any unit which was in Kodiak, Alaska. Now, I've never served in Kodiak, Alaska. I did not serve in Storrs, and I did not make the circumnavigation of the North American continent, which was the subject of our reunion organized by John 2 years ago. But somehow or other, I have snuck in, and I am going to be not only there, but I suspect that I will be given the opportunity to pontificate, hopefully at great length, but if not at great length, at least to short words. And if anybody is at all interested, I recommend that you get on to the Coast Guard channel. And there's information there. You don't have to be a member of the channel in order to read this part of it and get the information about the gathering in Duluth. And Duluth is a really interesting city because that's where the iron ore, as taconite, is loaded to then move down to the mill towns on Lake Erie. And when I was the captain in the Coast Guard cutter Northwind, we did a whole winter of moving taconite from Duluth all the way down to Lake Erie. And then after that, I became the commander in the Sioux and was the in charge of Operation Taconite. So Duluth is an interesting city. It has many attractions, and not the least of which is the reunion, which will be 2-3-4 of June of this year. I will be there, and I will be pontificating, hopefully, at great length. On the Chesapeake Bay Bridge, we now have two people who are as yet unaccounted for. They have got to be underneath the steel, which is still lying across the bow of the container ship. The FBI has now gotten into it, and they are beginning a criminal investigation with the possibility that the crew of the ship knew ahead of time that they had problems with the electrical and steering system. I wonder whether or not getting that investigation going is a little bit precipitous, but in any case, that's what's happening. At the same time, Captain O'Connell, U.S. Coast Guard, captain of the port, is running an absolutely splendid operation to get the main channel opened as quickly as possible. And in the meantime, there are two side channels, one to the east and one to the west. And the smaller ships are now able to move in and out. And I give, once again, a Bravo Zulu, a well done, to Captain O'Connell. Now, quickly, we have all too quickly come to the end of our time together. This is, as always, your Captain Joe. I am on station and watching properly. And no broadcast next week, but listen in anyway. And then the week after that, I will be back here in the captain's chair. And for right now, we never say goodbye. We say until we meet again, and we will be back together live, unscripted and unrehearsed, in 2 weeks from today. All of you remain in the palm of my hand while I am traveling.